Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
On the line, we have Jonathan Zasma. Jonathan is originally South African, but lives in Israel. He's the author of a book called Valley of Heaven and Earth, Stories Growing Up in Apartheid South Africa. He's also a social activist and business consultant. But there's a very good reason I want to talk to him. Jonathan, good afternoon to you, and thank you for being with us on the Overdrive on 101.9 Chai FM.
Good afternoon, Simon, and hello to all the listeners.
Okay, so I've got to tell you something. I read an article of yours, so then I went to read your bio, and the thing that just jumped up off the paper at me, the most important thing from our perspective, is that you're from Hermanus. Who on earth is from Hermanus?
That is exactly so strange, isn't it?
And you know, when nobody's from Hermanus. You retire to Hermanus.
But there are Jewish people, quite a few, that were born and brought up in Hermanus. That is absolutely correct. And my friends used to laugh at me at Herzliya School because they would say, you're from Hermanus. That means that you're a Sabra.
No, I just think you got lost at Habonim camp or something, and your parents have got to fetch you, and you think you're from Hermanus. Because honestly, as a Capetonian, I've got to say, I've never met one. But lovely, we've established the Jewish genealogy. Now let's get to business. I read an article that you wrote very recently. It was published in the Times of Israel. Benny, there's a way out. Okay, let's leave Benny Gantz aside, because he's almost peripheral to what I want to talk about. But what you touched on and I found absolutely fascinating was military men in politics. And yeah, I'd love you to talk to us about that. What is your take on military men in politics? Are they going to be a superb success or dismal failures? And why?
Well, it's actually a fascinating subject, and you know, I just outlined in the article, I just outlined a few of the examples of the failures of many of the military men in Israeli politics. But before we had this chat, you know, I went through and I started looking up, started checking my, you know, my details and looking up, and gosh, there are so many military people that have been in Israeli politics, and there have been so many horrendous failures in that respect, embarrassing moments and so on and so forth. And the fascinating thing about it is that when you put the military men and women to a certain degree, but also the generals, you know, I'm talking about the people that were right at the top, when you put them in front of civilian leaders, they do not come out so well.
Fascinating. Fascinating, because you would expect the exact opposite. Why is that?
Well, I think that the reason is that the military is based on decisions in the military are based on several things. One is rank, obviously, that has tremendous weight, but the generals don't just make the decisions because they can and because they've got the rank. They consult with the right people and so on and so forth. The whole system works together, but the system works together based on a set of rational standards, and the information, the flow of information is very powerful and very well organized, so that when strategic decisions and other decisions have to be made within the military, there's a process, and that process is completely objective, and it's based obviously on the resources that you have and the intelligence that you have. What it seems is that in politics, we're in a completely different ball game. Yes, leaders in politics also have to make similar kinds of decisions, sometimes even more important decisions than the military men. However, one always needs to be watching one's back. One always needs to understand who one's constituency is. And on the basis of that, your decision-making process is influenced. And when you put the military person in front of the civilian person, those basic instincts aren't there. And that's where they generally tend to sort of fall.
I found that absolutely fascinating. It's the kind of insight that we just wouldn't have, and that goes against everything that we would have assumed. We would have thought absolute superb decision makers in times of crisis, but maybe it's the politicians who need to weigh off interests in a different way and compromise and scheme and connive. Maybe that's what politics calls for. I don't know.
You know, we don't need to go all the way back into Israeli history, although we can, and we find a similar pattern. But let's just look at the period of time of Benjamin Netanyahu. I mean, Benjamin Netanyahu is a master politician. Now, unlike many of the generals, he had an important position in the army. He was an officer in the army. But, you know, he wasn't one of the generals. He wasn't one of the big leaders in the army. But when you put him in front of some of the most important generals that we've had, I mean, he just puts these guys in his back pocket. Seriously.
And look what he's done to Gantz. I mean, I think he has chewed him up and spat him out. How Gantz thinks that he has any power to negotiate anything, having kind of given up on his coalition. He's gone into a negotiation with no power.
Not only that, there are previous examples of exactly the same thing. We had Shaul Mofaz, who's a thoroughly outstanding person. He was an outstanding general. He made his way into politics. He fought his way into politics. He managed to eventually gain leadership of the Kadima party that was originally set up by Eric Sharon.
Yeah.
And once he was in that position, he somehow lost the basic understanding of what your constituency is. Who are the people that are voting for you and who are the people that are next to you? And he vowed never to get into a coalition with Netanyahu, and he made the fatal step. And when he did that, he completely lost his constituency. It isn't as if Gantz doesn't have something
same
to refer
again.
To. I mean, this was
same
just a
story.
Couple of years back.
And I mean, even today, I looked at the heading on the Times of Israel, the lead story, and apparently negotiations for a coalition government are faltering. He's got nothing to fall back on. He doesn't have blue and white anymore. He destroyed it.
The kind of leap that he made is a leap over the cliff. I mean, you know, he really, you cannot really walk your way back up on the cliff. I mean, so he really has nowhere to go. And, at the end of the day, he's going to be quite seriously compromised. And I cannot see a political future here. I mean, things do happen. It's possible. But he's come out of this incredibly badly. And because he was a leader because he was so powerful, because he had such a long, hard struggle getting to the level that he got to, you know, it's kind of the feeling, I think, on all sides of the political spectrum in Israel is, oh dear, what a crash. You know, we're witnessing a train wreck.
Absolutely. And yet, Jonathan, one of our listeners writing in saying he does have power. He's the Speaker of the Knesset.
That is correct. He is the Speaker of the Knesset. Now there's a tremendous fight going on in Israel over who's going to retain that speakership. And it's true that the Speaker does have a very important role, but it's not good enough for the long term. For the short term, he can exercise a little bit of power, but if he plunges the Israeli electorate back into another election, you know, he'll come out even more damaged. So there really is no way out for him. He's going to have to make some very big compromises and take it from there.
Jonathan, that's where we're going to leave it this afternoon. But I want to thank you. I want to thank you for shifting my paradigm, because I, like so many people, thought, you know, there must be comfort in having a military general who's going to look after you and keep you safe. And you just so moved our cheese and made us look at it from a different angle. So, yeah, thank you for that. And I'm pretty certain that that is just the first of many conversations that we are going to have. Thank you so much.
Wonderful talking to you, Simon.
No, awesome. Awesome.
Okay, then. We'll be in contact. Bye then, bye.